Welcome back. Today, we're looking at material exploring the Ronald McDonald House urban legend, specifically that gap between the public image and some darker whispers. Okay, so the piece does a really effective job, I think, capturing the emotional core of this legend. It feels unsettling, but there's maybe an opportunity here to tighten up the methodology.
Yeah, I see that. It's about separating the anecdotal claims, the stories people tell, from what your specific notebook entries or available records actually show.
Exactly. Because right now, sometimes it feels like claims from the legend, like doors that lock from the outside.
Or the stories about needle marks.
Right. Those get kind of mixed in with observations that are likely grounded in the notebooks, like the casserole kitchens or the descriptions of the rooms, the beds lined in rows.
And then without really clearly signposting where each bit of information comes from, it can get a bit muddy for someone trying to follow the analysis. You know, is this part of the myth or something documented?
Precisely. So the suggestion here is to maybe systematically introduce each piece of the legend.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately critically look at it. Cross-reference it explicitly against the type of source you have for it in your material.
So it becomes really clear. Okay, this is a rumor. This might be from a specific report that, you know, maybe vanished later, and this is just a general observation from the notes.
Yeah, it strengthens that whole legend versus record comparison you're building.
Okay, so like take the doors that lock from the outside. That's a really strong image.
Very.
Maybe frame that up front as a prominent, unsettling claim that's part of the legend itself.
Right, rather than presenting it like an architectural detail that's, you know, confirmed by the notebooks.
Because the notes mostly talk about families checking in, or maybe those ribbon-cutting photos, right? Not door mechanisms?
Exactly. So you establish it as a legendary motif right away.
And similarly with the needle marks on the arms.
Mm-hmm.
You could introduce that specifically as an anecdotal claim you see circulating online. Make it distinct from, say, an official incident report if one existed in the notes.
It helps the reader understand how these stories spread, often without that direct, verifiable link back to the internal records you're working with. It highlights the nature of the reporting itself.
And then there's the detail about blank plaques on doors, the ones without numbers. You mentioned it's a whispered claim from former staff, which is great.
Yeah, that's evocative.
To push it methodologically, maybe ask the question, what kind of record would normally document something like that? You know, an architectural detail?
Good point.
It sort of reinforces how these unverified but really persistent rumors become central to the legend, precisely because there's no official paper trail. It gets into the nature of rumor itself.
Okay, moving to the next point. The material does a good job highlighting significant gaps, like no public record shows how many children went home.
Right, or that vanished Chicago fire report. The absence of records is definitely a theme.
But I think we can push that further. Treat these gaps, these disappearances, not just as missing information, but as crucial data points in their own right.
Interesting. So not just noting they're gone, but analyzing the fact that they're gone.
Exactly. You mentioned Charity doesn't keep a ledger, but let's unpack that. What kind of ledger or records would we reasonably expect for an organization this size linked to hospitals?
Yeah, what does the absence of that imply, methodologically, for a huge network like this?
The material could probably dig a bit deeper into why these specific gaps are so significant beyond just stating they exist.
So really framing the lack of expected records or the discrepancies people report as central evidence for the mythological aspect.
Yes. You could discuss, you know, what kind of documentation should exist for, say, tracking patient stays in temporary housing tied to medical care.
And then pinpointing the specific, really unsettling lack of that expected data.
It draws parallels to other narratives where information being erased or obscured is actually the most telling part of the story.
Like that Chicago fire inspection report you mentioned. The one citing lead paint and those vents that ended in concrete.
Chilling detail, that one.
You could really emphasize that incident as a prime example of erasure becomes the evidence. The act of the report disappearing is maybe the most important piece of information we have about it.
It also weaves in that very specific, disturbing image, the vent to concrete, not just as a spooky detail, but as a methodological clue. Something was hidden.
And then there's the claim about wristband scans, that parents online say counts don't match when kids are scanned in and out.
Right. That connects directly to themes of surveillance, maybe control.
Exactly. So if data is being collected via these wristbands,
What does it mean, methodologically, when the scans reportedly don't match what parents think happened or the official story?
It forces you to question the reliability of the system, right? What's happening in those discrepancies? Are there hidden protocols, errors, something else?
It echoes other narratives where control operates sort of behind the scenes, through data or processes that aren't fully transparent.
And back to the no public record shows how many children went home point. Expand on the analytical implications. What kind of public record usually tracks discharge or transition from a facility like this, especially one linked to hospitals?
The very absence of that expected data point becomes part of the legend's foundation. It's not just a missing detail. It's a void that fuels the speculation and unease.
It transforms that statement of absence into a key piece of the argument about why the legend feels so potent, especially when transparency seems lacking.
Okay, so the third main area. The material presents all these different elements of the legend really vividly.
It does. The imagery is strong.
But maybe there's a way to create a stronger sense of narrative flow, a kind of thematic unity that deliberately builds towards that really powerful final image you have, the ledger nobody can see.
Right now, sometimes the details, you know, the painted clowns, beds in rows, the passerelle kitchens left out, those ribbon photos on the wall, they feel a bit like a collection of striking images.
Yeah, like snapshots. They don't always feel like they're strategically woven together to constantly amplify that core tension, the tension between the charitable surface and the underlying mystery or unease.
And that might dilute the buildup to that final, really impactful line about the ledger. Does each detail pull its weight in creating that sense of foreboding?
That's the question. So the suggestion is to think about integrating all that specific imagery, all those legendary claims, in a way that maintains a consistent thread of maybe unresolved questions or hidden depths right through the piece.
So every detail, even the seemingly innocent ones, subtly contributes to this overall impression that there's something more going on, something hidden, guiding the reader to constantly ask, what aren't we seeing?
Yeah, like when you first introduced those positive images, the casserole kitchens left overnight, the families posing for ribbon photos, saying how grateful they are.
Mm-hmm. The surface stuff.
Maybe immediately or very soon after, juxtapose that with the whispers, the blank plaques or the no-number doors, or the stories spread online about kids vanishing.
Ah, so setting up that contrast right away.
Exactly. It establishes that false front idea early on. It suggests the shiny surface might be hiding something more complex, more troubling. It creates that narrative tension from the start.
And we could also connect the early descriptions of the network, how it's always beside children's hospitals, always smiling, always expanding.
That sense of relentless, benign growth.
That connect that more directly to the later claims about things like sealed suburban police reports or that Chicago report that vanished within weeks.
Right. So you juxtapose the outward expansion and benevolence with this pattern of information disappearing or being contained.
It reinforces the idea of an entity that's maybe very good at controlling its narrative, obscuring problems. It builds towards this concept of a system designed to manage what's seen and, crucially, what isn't.
And making sure that past to present flow feels really clear in how the legend itself evolves. You know, from those initial observations back in the 70s, the expansion, the painted clowns maybe, to how these questions persist and even deepen today. The same story spread online, the network kept growing, but the answers didn't necessarily follow.
So showing that continuity of unresolved questions over decades.
Exactly. It makes that final image, the ledger you can't see, feel like the inevitable, chilling culmination of this whole long history of whispers and gaps. It ties everything together.
Okay, so just to quickly recap the main suggestions here. First, really focus on rigorously separating the legendary claims from what's verifiably in your records. Strengthen that analytical clarity.
Right. Second, treat those absences, the missing records, the gaps, as significant evidence in themselves. Dig into why they matter methodologically and how they fuel the legend.
And finally, weave all those vivid details and claims together deliberately. Build that narrative tension consistently throughout the piece, so everything points towards and foreshadows that powerful final image of the unseen ledger.
Yeah. Those steps should really help elevate the analysis, making it a more cohesive and methodologically rigorous journey through this really compelling urban legend. It moves it from just presenting observations to building a strong analytical argument.
We definitely encourage you to take these points, refine the work, and feel free to send it back for another look.
Absolutely.
For now, we'll leave you with that image, a family photo on a ribbon-cutting wall and a ledger no one can see.